Okay, so I switched to English. So if there are any problems from anybody, please just lift your arms and say this is difficult or this is I don't understand. So really, what I would like to do is to draw on studies that we did together, that is Ghislaine, Luc, and I, in terms of teacher professional development and teachers. Pardon?
Ghislaine, un problème là-bas?
Non, moi je suis en train de récupérer le diaporama qui a mis un petit peu de temps à arriver, mais nous n'avons pas de problème.
Okay.
So the I draw on studies that we did together, and really what studies on teachers, mathematics teachers working with resources, and I would like really to point out here the digital curriculum resources. So digital curriculum resources. So that's it doesn't mean all the other resources that sometimes we include. And also, in particular, I would like to think about teacher design. What does it actually mean when teachers design? And so, I mean, from our experience, we always say, oh, teachers interact, they do this, they choose, and so on. But from the designer's perspective, because there are curriculum designers in Europe, and in France, here we have them sitting in the ministry or in the conseil, they sort of supervise this whole curriculum design in some ways. In other countries, they have curriculum expertise centers who do this. So sometimes it's the ministry, sometimes it's particular national centers. But of course, teachers also design in their professional development when they prepare their lessons and so on. So I just wanted to see what actually means design and if there are. And what are the opportunities for teachers to design? Because we actually expect teachers to design. We expect them not to use the textbook or to use the textbook to a lesser extent, to go away a little bit from the textbook and develop their own ideas. Now, is that design? And to what extent can... So I just was thinking about teacher design. So the structure of the presentation will be on first a kind of introduction background. Then I would like to draw on some of the frames that I used also in terms of design. And then findings from our studies. You probably know the studies, but I will briefly reiterate. And then think about this reclaiming design, teachers as designers, and maybe how can we develop mathematical design capacity, and that's up for discussion actually, that's not sort of findings as such. So background to the study, or to the different studies, or to this meta-study you could say, is of course the literature on mathematics teachers' interaction with and use of curriculum materials. And you know probably a lot of the European and American literature on that, and I have only quoted here some of them. There's also, we know, a shift from text-based to digital interactive school curriculum materials. And only very recently, that is yesterday, I read Jerry Becker that the Gates Foundation has actually admitted that some of their efforts to change and raise achievement in the United States have been failing. And what they want to concentrate now on is actually the use, the production and the use of particular digital curriculum materials to help teachers and students in their interactions. So that's actually, I think it was quite an interesting statement that they made in their report yesterday. So there's definitely the shift from text-based to digital interactive school curriculum materials. It also presents itself for the French case, because in France the curriculum has changed from yearly curricula, from yearly achievement or competences to a kind of cycles.
cycles.
Now, what do they mean with a cycle? In a cycle, there are these 3 years. So what we have seen with teachers here in France are textbooks that go over 3 years. Well, textbooks that go over 3 years are necessarily much thicker than textbooks that go over 1 year. And so the suggestion from the Conseil here in France was actually to go over to digital textbooks. All of the publishers were advised to do that. And some of them have taken that on board, and the teacher we interviewed a few days ago, she actually mentioned that they're very interested in that. When we had the two teachers, when they were talking to each other about their preparations. So there's this definitely, there's not only an interest, but actually there's a push from a kind of national institutions in France, I could see, but we know from the States also, and I think that might be the case in other European countries, towards digital curriculum materials. And there's also evidence that the design, selection, and enactment of these digital curriculum materials can be driven by practicing teachers. And I draw there on one of the studies together with Ghislaine and Hussein Sabra and Gluck, where the Césamat Association, and we'll talk about that in a while, and maybe you know all of this, have developed all these curriculum materials, these digital textbooks. And that's a special case maybe that, it's interesting, and we have studied that quite extensively over the years. With the adoption of digital resources in many countries, there are questions emerging concerning, of course, the authorship of those curriculum materials. So, for example, let's say in France, we had a typical authorship, and maybe that is still to some extent the case, where definitely teachers, but also inspectors. There was definitely a kind of institutional hand in the authorship and the implications for this kind of authorship. There have also, of course, been books written by teachers, for teachers, which was the Césamat case. But, of course, when you think about the digital curriculum materials, and we can see that in the work of Jair Confrey in the States, there's the problem, or the problem or the issue of quality and coherence. And in the American case, in the US case, of course the issue of alignment with the common core curriculum, and that's what Jair Confrey actually shows in her paper at ARA, the way they aligned their what they call toolbox at a certain stage, which are curriculum materials that teachers can use in different ways, and how that can be aligned with the common core curriculum, and so that teachers can in some ways design, but actually wave their way through this curriculum with these kind of toolbox. There's also an issue of how open content may interact with different subject matters. It might be that, for example, if you think of now interdisciplinary work, that the sciences work more together, and mathematics, and what does it mean for the different subject areas. And then, of course, which pedagogic practices may best match digital resources, adoption, use, interaction with. So which are the pedagogic practices? And I think this is very relevant for the French case, because in the French case you have now in the mathematics curriculum this kind of algorithm part where teachers are forced to interact and to teach and to work with ICT, but also with I would say to produce digital, perhaps digital curriculum materials, where they and how they interact with this, how they teach it. And when we talked to the teacher here in Lyon, I asked her what she thought, what it means for teachers in France and or for her colleagues in her college. And she was uh, She said, well, for me, it's not so much different because I'm used to this kind of designing and using digital materials and curriculum resources. But for a lot of my colleagues, it is a big problem, she said. So this, of course, links to the literature on technology in teaching and in teachers' practices. But actually, here we're trying to get away a little bit from just technology in the classroom to really digital curriculum materials and how they're designed and used, you know, by teachers. So there's quite a difference, and that's what the ZDM issue will be about. It will be about digital curriculum materials, the ZDM issue that we're producing at the moment, or hope to produce at the moment. Okay, so that's that. In terms of coherence, Ghislaine, Luc, and I, with Israeli and American colleagues, have actually written on that in terms of different kind of coherence, and there's the initial design coherence. And that's, of course, when we think of teacher preparation, what teachers want to have, this progression, and the, you know, how do we get it sort of in line with the curriculum, and how do we progress in terms of learning sequence or learning trajectory, and which kind of intentions do you have shaping this choice and design of the content. There's, of course, a product coherence in terms of and linked to the technological tools available for presenting, designing, and working with the subject matter, and that we see in the paper that Ghislaine, Hussein, Luc, and I have produced. And then there's a coherence in use, which refers to how teachers can and may be advised to use digital curriculum materials or the book in this case. We also have looked at different types of digital textbooks, and there we differentiated between a dynamic e-textbooks, which is a kind of add-on type model where the traditional digital textbook is linked to other learning objects, digital learning objects, and the book might be traditionally authored, and hence the norms of authorship, coherence, and quality might not have changed. Then we said that there was a second type, the evolving or living e-textbooks, and that refers to the developing or cumulative type model where a community, let's say teachers, like in Sesamat, authors a digital textbook. And this is then constantly developing, like a Wikipedia, due to the input of other practicing teachers. And of course, here they all, the notion of authorship, quality, and coherence become a bit blurred compared to the kind of traditional authorship, as the teachers intervene and so on. And that also, now we have to think of the, when we talk of design, this is also important, and I think we'll come back to that later on. And then, of course, the third one is the interactive e-textbook, like the toolkit type, which I referred already to Jerry Confries. There's also in some European projects, for example, in Muskill, they're producing this kind of toolkit. And so there are examples of that in Europe and in the States, where the book is might be traditionally authored, but affords object-oriented navigation through the book, and that's then sort of like in the teacher book or teacher guidelines. I would also refer to some of the works of Jeff Chopin and Ryan Boris, who claim that in many countries there's, of course, this increasing market and policy forces that are pushing schools to adopt and take up digital materials, which we have heard before, and when I read that yesterday in Jerry Becker, that was very revealing. They also claim, and we probably know about that a little bit, is that digital materials have transformative features. So he called, of course, we called it first of all potentially transformative, such as this enhanced interactivity that we have already seen, customization and adaptive assessments. And there's a lot of moves in terms of formative assessment and assessment that use these digital curriculum materials. However, there are also multiple forces informing the design, the dissemination and use of digital curricula. And you can think of the publishers, for example. And there are forces which And these forces will influence which features will be emphasized in those materials. So if you look at publishers, of course, they have their certain take on it because they want to sell their materials. And so these are then also widely disseminated and taken up in classrooms, of course. So Chopin and Boris, they outlined the following potentially transformative features of digital programs. The incorporation of multimedia, of course, interactive activities and tools, immersive environments, social components to collaborate within and across settings, customizing the learning experience, and embedded and continuous assessment and data reporting. And some of these we can see in Sesamat, actually, but not all of these. And they identify and describe four perspectives in a digital curriculum. The designer perspective, that could be the teacher, but also somebody else. The policy perspective, so from the national, the ministries, for example. The publisher's perspective and the user perspective. So these perspectives, of course, interact with each other in different ways, and ways that are sometimes convergent and sometimes divergent, emphasizing features of curriculum materials for a variety of reasons. Some are pedagogical, some political, some commercial, and some pragmatic. So what kind of notions do we have of mathematics teachers? We have the notion of a mathematics teacher as an implementer of the developed materials. So that is the traditional view, I would nearly say, where the either the ministry or the national agency has developed particular materials and teachers are expected to implement them. To some extent, this implementation is happening in France at the moment and definitely over the next year. And it is expected to be finished within 1 year. Now, I don't know how this can happen in 1 year, but we have been told in an interview that François Hollande expects this to be finished in 1 year. And he wants, I mean, there are, of course, political reasons for that, because there's an election then after 2017. And he said he wants to make it irreversible. That's why it has to be implemented in 1 year. So that's interesting, really, which for me talks about a misunderstanding how things can happen. And I think everybody who, and including the National Council in France, know that this would be very difficult and probably will not happen in the ways that it was foreseen. Okay, there are designers. Teachers as designers, and again I refer to that study that that talks about the Sesamat Association. Then there are partners in task design, and there was a recent special issue on that in the Journal for Mathematics Teacher Education. And also I mention here some of my colleagues, Fred Janssen, who has written on that in with science curriculum materials. So where they're partners in task design. And then, of course, there's the idea of being involved in designing technology-enhanced learning. And that has been a view that has come for a long time from the kind of educational technology design perspective. And here you see Susan McKenney and people who have worked on that in the Netherlands, but together with American colleagues. So those are the notions that I've put down. There might be more. So there's also a notion of design as adoption and integration. And there are some notions of design of appropriation and transformation, this kind of participatory interactive relationship that we've talked about that Luc and Ghislaine have talked about in the documentational approach. So the questions are, what means design and collaborative or collective or co-design by teachers? In which ways can we understand teachers' interaction with digital resources in terms of design? And in which ways do the co-design and implementation of digital curriculum materials support changing in teachers' professional practice? Or you could ask in teachers' knowledge. Is there evidence that the new digital resources elicit different practices and engagement in terms of design practices? And of course, then, to what extent do specific digital tools and strategies support shifts in teacher learning that relates to the professional development and teacher knowledge? And how do teachers attend to barriers that inhibit the use of new digital materials or tools? So what is a resource? I don't know whether I should really start there because I'm talking already for 20 minutes, my computer tells me. We have several definitions. One is that you have seen a lot in some of the papers of us where Jill Adler talks about the resourcing, and that of course has this notion, there's this, what is interesting about this is this notion about resourcing, invigorating, making new, and making new from old maybe, or so that is in that. Then there's the one that Ghislaine and I produced in the encyclopedia, and that linked to the curriculum resources really, and that is that are the resources developed and used by teachers and pupils in their interaction with mathematics in and for teaching and learning inside and outside the classroom, and we refer there to text-based resources, to other materials, that is manipulative concretes, and to ICT-based resources, such as computer software that might be built into the curriculum resources or otherwise. We're not here talking about human resources, because we're talking here about mathematics curriculum resources. But of course, the term of resource in mathematics education is a little bit wider. But here in that paper in 2013, we defined mathematics teaching resources as all the resources which are developed and used by teachers in their interaction with mathematics in and for teaching and learning inside and outside the classroom. The resources are essential for mathematics teachers, and teachers use different kinds of resources which shape the mathematical content presented to and used by pupils in their mathematics learning. Moreover, when appropriating resources, teachers adapt them to their needs and customs. This process of design, so there's another one of design, and interpretation of resources then continues in use. Hence, transformation is seen as design in use. So there's this one in the classroom. Okay, there's open educational resources, which we could use, but I think you know about this OECD definition probably, so we can skip that. We defined e-textbooks, which you can read up in some ways. So digital textbook, we defined then last year with our colleagues as an evolving structured set of digital resources dedicated to teaching and learning, initially designed by different types of authors, but open for redesign by teachers, both individually and collectively. So now I come to the analytical frames that we used and that we borrowed from the curriculum design and developers. So there's this, and it's very well known, I don't think it's very well known here, but in the Netherlands there's this curricular spider web. And that's, it looks like a spider web, and it gives all the different factors of the curriculum design, and we actually use some of these questions in a minute, and I will explain them to you. And there's also the curriculum design by, and I mentioned that already, people like Susan McKenney and Yoko Folk, instructional design with technology. So these are the designers. These people have come from a sort of general educational background, and they have designed. There's a whole, there are courses in curriculum design and design technology in the Netherlands, and these are the kinds of people. Of course, we also draw on collaborative approaches. So there's to design and design in use, or co-design, there's also often used in the literature. So in terms of the this design, and when I link to the spider web, which actually exists at different levels, and when you if you put in the Netherlands in Google spiderweb, curriculum spiderweb, you get this spiderweb, and it's digitally, and you can tick on it, and it explains it to you at different levels, at micro level, at macro level, and so on. I just took some of the questions out of here. So the questions they ask is, so the goals basically, why are teachers designing? Towards which goal are they designing? What exactly are teachers designing? The content, or are they designing a module or so? How are teachers designing? How is this facilitated? What are the materials and resources used for the design? With whom are teachers designing? And where are teachers designing? What is the audience? And when are teachers designing? And how is the design evaluated? So those are the questions that the curriculum designers ask. And I thought, well, it would be interesting to ask these questions for our studies as well. So we, of course, we use the frames of Luc and Ghislaine in the studies that we use this interaction with resources of teachers. And of course, we also thought about what are the possibilities for design. And we put it already in one of our papers. The possibilities for interaction, co-design, and learning are, of course, when teachers work with their colleagues, teachers and pupils, teachers and parents, teachers and textbook authors. So those are the possibilities for exchange. I think most of you know the CESARMAT environment, the context of CESARMAT, with all its interactivities, and I don't think I have to repeat all that. I go on then. So maybe just to say that CESARMAT is actually, especially when you think of the LaboMap, which is pointed to here, for linking the CESARMAT textbook to other CESARMAT resources, which the teacher can put in, and for external resources. So there's definitely in CESARMAT many possibilities for interaction and putting things together, which I don't think I have to explain all that. People know about all that. Huh? So we can. So what we used for this meta study was, I chose now two. Originally we had three, but here is the ARA 2015 paper, which is based on Luc's study, what I call study one here, the engagement with Vera's engagement with digital resources in the preparation of her teaching and in her classroom instruction. And then the second study, a study of collective design processes of selected teachers of the CESARMAT Association of the Design of a Grade 10 e-textbook, which is the paper that I mentioned earlier. So these two studies are concerned with selected French mathematics teachers' interaction with and use of CESARMAT and other digital resources also, of course, individually and collectively. So these are the moments that sort of Luc has in the valise, and I don't want to go to through the studies because you probably know about it. And then the study two is the one teachers as designers, collective design of an e-textbook, why are we identified, and I'm going through quickly moments of change, and so on. And I think we can also skip that. So I come then very quickly to the comparing the results of the two studies in terms of design. So we made a table, which I haven't shown here, a table of, we have asked all those questions, those 10 questions that I showed you before, for these two studies. And we put moments of where teachers designed and where they designed and so on for these two studies, and what were the moments of design then we could identify. And we could, when we look over those two studies, and of course one could do that for many more studies, we identified in particular points which we think are moments of design. There are different dimensions. There's the dimension of individual and collective. So digital resources offered opportunities to be involved in collective design at a distance. And we saw that with Vera when she interacted with CESARMAT or with her colleagues there. Then we also identified a dimension of narrow broad audience dimension where the designer was designing or the teacher was designing for personal instruction in the case of Vera and for the public community in the case of César Monte for the second study. But of course these dimensions or the difference between that or the lines blur because of digital resources offering opportunities to write in the case of César Monte. So for example, when Vera writes in, she also in some ways, of course, designs for the public community because César Monte might be changed because she writes in and so on. Then there's the approach dimension. Digital resources offer a mixture of what we thought were four different approaches. The instrumental approach, planning by objective. So you have the national curriculum as the basis for the design process and the progression, which we saw in study two, actually, I should say here. Sorry. So that was the, and then the communicative dimension, communication to reach consensus and best product, which we also saw in the second study where the César Monte Association was producing. Then we had a pragmatic engineering approach where it was interactive and repeated trial out and revision. And actually César Monte did that with some of the teachers that actually tried out. And then there's the artistic, which we really couldn't find so much in these studies, but there's creation of products based on connoisseurship. So that's more, I would say, the traditional textbook approach in France with associated digital resources. Okay, so opportunities for design, we said that already before. So what are the questions remaining? And that is maybe up for discussion, as well as, of course, other things that I mentioned. So what are the opportunities for design, maybe? But also what kinds of competences and capacities develop through this design, this kind of designs and on these dimensions? How do they develop, and what are the ingredients for the development? And I'm now on the conclusions at 29 minutes. So the conclusions from the studies were actually that we identified different facets of design and opportunities for design capacity building, and the affordances of digital resources are related to the opportunities for design by mathematics teachers of their own curriculum materials for instruction or for the development of teachers' mathematical design capacity at a larger scale. Thank you.